Good to be with you this morning, and trust that you're enjoying being in God's presence together, even though you are not away for the weekend. And I'm sure there's lots of reasons why you're not away for the weekend, but God's here, isn't he? And God is with the rest of the church as they worship and spend time together as well. Let's just pray together and pray that the Lord will speak to us, and the things that we need to get from this amazing story we receive. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are great, and you are greatly to be praised. I want to thank you this morning, Lord, for the fact that Jesus is alive, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he is glorified, and he has sent his Spirit to be with us. And Lord, that has changed everything, so we can be a people of hope, even in the midst of difficulty and challenges. Father, we have a hope beyond this life. And I pray you'll just fill our hearts today with the power of your Spirit in your life. I pray you'll excite us about your word. Your word is true. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's amazing. But Lord, it is true. And it produces amazing things in our lives if we open up to it. So we pray this morning we'll do that. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said?
Amen.
That was a good one. I never want to do that again. So come on. Okay. Just want to say right at the beginning here that we are dealing with a very sensitive issue. When there is a difficulty with a couple in the area of being able to conceive, and of course some of us will know testimonies of those who had difficulty conceiving and were prayed for, and God answered their prayers, like Hannah. Others are still waiting for that answer and looking to God and how it might do that. And I wanted just to realize today from this passage that somebody here might be actually quite challenged by that. There might be a difficulty in your life. I want to say this is a message of hope, and as I share, I want you to understand from being a pastor and just life that our compassion and our prayers are with you if this is a particular challenge for you. So Hannah's travail and waiting on God. You've been going through a period of time looking at these whole things about waiting on God, and after I'd spoken to you and, you know, well, probably about a month or so ago, as part of this series, this story jumped out at me, and it just grabbed me as I was just reading through, because I tend to read through the scriptures. I have one of these Bibles that you read, through the Bible every year sort of thing, and I got to this point, and it just seemed to fit into, as a church, where you are in this whole thing of waiting on God. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background here. Elkanah's significant social status is highlighted right at the beginning, okay, because it mentions his genealogy, and this is from the people who study far more depth than I do, but they say that because his genealogy is marked out to the fourth generation, and they also mention the fact that he was married to two wives, actually says that he was important, okay, he had a high social status. And in the case of Elkanah, whose polygamy was probably motivated by childlessness, because the way that it's mentioned, that Hannah was mentioned first, she probably was the first wife. She was probably the wife that he'd married first, but she had difficulty conceiving. And of course, to everybody else, it would be the fact that they would say she was barren. But we know, because we have the scriptures, God had closed her womb. God's timing in her life was so important. And so Elkanah, whose polygamy is probably motivated by the childlessness of Hannah, Elkanah's cultural solution to barrenness was polygamy. And that still goes on a lot in places like Africa and places like that. A lot of women suffer in that sort of way, that if they, for some reason, can't have a child, a man will take another woman to see whether he can have a child with that woman and bring her in to the marriage situation. So Elkanah's marriage to Peninnah only resolves his problem of childlessness, but it aggravates Hannah's. It aggravates Hannah's. It just makes it, because Peninnah was she was able to have children and she was fruitful, it exposed Hannah even more to the fact that she was childless. It aggravated her situation, but it resolved Elkanah's problem. Since Elkanah is no more childless, he has progeny, he has children, he naturally cannot fully understand the deep agony of Hannah. Maybe if people are going through that, we need to try and understand as best we can. Maybe the deep agony that people feel who are maybe going through these things. But Elkanah can't really understand it anymore because he's no longer childless, but Hannah is. And so when he says to Hannah, and he sees Hannah in a terrible state because Peninnah's been making fun of her, she's been goading her, we don't know what sort of horrible things she's been saying to her, but when he actually, you know, when he actually comes, he says, but aren't I better than 10 sons? Even he didn't fully appreciate the culture in which he was in. Because you know what? It mattered to Hannah as much as anything that she could not have children. It wasn't that she just couldn't please Elkanah. It was so important to her that she was fruitful and she was able to have a child. And he could not no longer fully understand that because his need had been met. So important, isn't it, that we have compassion? You know, sometimes some people, God does some wonderful things. He heals them and, you know, and he blesses them and they were in debt and God wonderfully meets the debt and God does wonderful things. And sometimes we just forget that actually some people are still waiting for their answer. And maybe in God's economy, they might wait for an answer that they'll only get when they're in heaven. We have to have compassion. We have to understand. Elkanah had lost that ability to have that type of compassion on Hannah to understand her situation because his situation had been answered. And as God's people, we have to be very careful. You get the people who say, all you need is faith, brother and sister. All you need, just hang on in there. Sometimes they just need an arm around. Sometimes they even need somebody to weep with them. Not just somebody comes and says, you need more faith. Or are you praying enough? Now, those might be good questions, but you need to make sure that they're the right questions at the right time if you're being compassionate and trying to understand the person. So Hannah was barren. We know from our point of view that God had closed the womb. But Hannah was made to feel barren as well. By the culture and community which she belonged, she felt like an outcast. And if you do any study on this, you might in some measure understand the disgrace that she would feel and the utter abject uselessness that she felt because of the situation. She was also made to feel bad by her adversary, which we've already said. Peninnah would make fun of her, particularly at the time of the feast when they would go up and celebrate each year at Shiloh. She was persecuted. She was oppressed. And I would guess she was depressed by the situation. But she was not being punished by God. But God had closed her womb for a period. And we've got to understand that we will go through all of these different types of feelings at different points in our life as Christians. If you are a Christian long enough, you will face that. But Hannah knew where to take all of that stuff. She knew how to take it to God. So Hannah was barren. Hannah was made to feel barren. But she was also really misunderstood. And we've already mentioned she was misunderstood by her husband because her husband could no longer sympathize properly. And because she was his favorite, and because he did things for her and gave her extra portions, he didn't understand Hannah. She was misunderstood by Eli. When she goes into the tabernacle to pray, and Eli is sitting at the side there, and he sees this woman, and she is praying from the very groanings within her. So much so is her agony that she's not even speaking. Have you ever been in that place? You ever been there? That desperate, that inside that. And she could not even form the words, but her mouth was moving. And you know, at these feasts, there was always plenty of wine at these feasts. And so it was quite possible that actually quite a number of them did get a little bit inebriated even when they came into the tabernacle because it was a feasting time. Lots of food, lots of wine. And Eli automatically thinks she's been feasting too much. She's been celebrating the feast. She's been drinking wine. She's drunk. It's probably happened before. And he comes to tell her off. And she, of course, says, this is not the case. This is the cry of my heart. This is the breaking of my heart I'm pouring out to God. And she explains herself to him. Obviously, once he understands the situation, understands how she's pouring out to God, he says to her, "May the Lord grant your request." But you know what? What you need to really get hold of here is she wasn't misunderstood by God. She wasn't misunderstood by God. God heard her prayer. And this is one of my key points I want to share with you. Sometimes pain, some of the things that we're going through, we can't even make the words for it. But it's in our heart. Do you know God knows your thoughts? He knows your heart. God knew Hannah's prayer. She didn't need to say it out loud. Now that can either be a scary thought, or that can be a great encouraging thought. You know that God knows your thoughts. He knows every, the good and the bad. He knows every thought you have. He knows every unspoken prayer of your heart. What is the prayer that's on your heart? Unsaved children, unsaved wife or husband, sickness. I don't know what that might be. Unemployment. I know some people just feel so deserted, so useless because they can't get a job. Lots of things, things that really affect people's lives. You know what? You might be misunderstood by everybody else, but you're not misunderstood by God. He knows your heart. He knows you to the very depth of your being. And he hears those silent cries. He hears every prayer. And that was one of the things that just stood out so much to me in that whole thing. There she was, being misunderstood by everybody, even Eli the priest. And yet God was hearing the cry of this woman as she was saying, "God, if you give me a child, I'll give this child back to you." It's amazing. You see, God knows and he cares. He knows how you feel, as I've said. He knows your thoughts, your heart. He knows your need. And he knows his plan for you. Believe with all your heart, wherever you are, that God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. Not anything that you go through is wasted. Nothing that you go through is wasted if you take it to God, if you trust with him. And we know that it's true because you, if you've been a Christian long, you will have heard testimonies of people who have been through awful things and God has brought them through. And nothing that they've experienced has been wasted because the comfort that they've received from God, they are able to give to others. Friends, if you've never been through trouble, if you've never experienced anything, then you've got very little to give when somebody comes and shares troubles with you because you've got nothing to draw on where God has brought you through. There's nothing that you can actually say, well, you never have to say things like, "I understand," but you can say, "God has brought me through a similar situation." So why did God allow her to experience these difficulties? I would look at this question by asking several other questions. I love that, because that's how Jesus used to do it. And Jesus always used to, you know, they'd ask him a question and he'd answer with a question. Here it is. Without being in such turmoil, that hopelessness, that struggle, that suffering of soul, would she have sought God the way that she did? Where have the times been in your life that you have really sought God? Has it been really in the great times when everything is going great and smooth and everything like that? Or has it been in the difficult times? Now, there's an area to be honest in, isn't it? And there's a challenge as well, because if you're in a good time, I want to say to you, get before God. But if we're honest, most of us, it's been in those times where family members or a situation that we're facing is so difficult and it brings us to our knees and we're saying, "God, where are you?" And that's not a bad prayer because God knows your heart. Some of us, we pretend that, you know, we can say it to other people and we give that godly sheen and that spiritual answer. But God knows your heart when you're saying, "God, where are you?" You know, to everybody outside and to the prayer group that we belong to, they see us, you know, we're standing strong. But inside, we're breaking up. God sees it. You can't hide it from him. Without being in such turmoil and difficulty, would she have sought God the way she did? I'll answer it from my point of view. I don't think she would have. Would her disposition have been that complete a reliance and dependence on God? That abandonment to God that nobody else can help me. Not my husband, not anybody, not the priest, not anybody, only you. And my final question is this. Most importantly, would she have reached the place where the thing she most wanted, if she got it, she'd give it back to God? That's powerful. That's incredibly powerful. Would she have ever got to that place without all that she'd been through, that she would get to the point, the thing that she wanted most, she'd actually give it back to God? She would. She'd had children just like Peninnah did, dead easy. She'd have never given them to God. But because of what God took her through, she was able to give the very best of what she had. She was able to give the very best because of that journey. And unless you go down some journey like that, friend, you will never give God your best. It will always be the second best. It will not be the first fruits. This was the first fruits for Hannah. Yes, she went on to have other children afterwards. Waiting on God, going through difficulty, produces the best fruit and enables us to give God the first fruits in our life. You see people who've been through with things with God, you recognize a spirituality in them. You recognize something about them. See, what she gave to God was Samuel, the kingmaker, the prophet, the priest. This is what she carried in her womb that she was able to give back to God. The prophet, the priest, the man of God, born out of prayer, travail, and suffering. Whatever man or woman of God ever comes out of anything else but travail and prayer. Think of the Wesleys. The Wesleys' mother, the children would be running around and she would put her apron over her head and she was praying for her children in the midst of the chaos of the kids going around. Look what happened to them. And the Methodist movement and amazing things that God did. Out of her difficulty came amazing things. Born out of prayer, travail, and suffering, a nation changer was born. And it was born out of this woman's amazing relationship with God. I want an amazing relationship with God. I don't want a mediocre relationship with God. And it scares me when I do this thing, that I need to say to God, I surrender. Whatever you have to take me through, I want that relationship with you so much. Whatever it is, take me on that journey. A bit scary, isn't it? But that's the journey that God calls us to. And we're all on that journey in some way or other. I just want to challenge you. The waiting on God is such a wonderful thing. We want to see God do such amazing things in our country. Our country is in a mess, friends. Sometimes I wonder what it will cost me to see changes come and some of the difficulties. It's time to wait on God and say to God, God, I'm yours. Lead me as you want. Use me as you want. I want to give you the very best. So, in conclusion, on this particular occasion, friends, we've got to understand the most happy ending happens when we see Jesus face to face. But in this particular Bible story, there's a happy ending. Before they returned home, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, this is after Samuel had been born, they gave Samuel to the Lord. May the Lord give you other children to take place of this one you gave to the Lord. Hannah had 5 more children after Samuel. God didn't just honor Eli's blessing for the first time. God continued to answer the prayers for Hannah. 3 more sons and 2 daughters. See that in 1 Samuel 2:21. So our lessons from Hannah today are, Hannah probably never dreamed when she prayed for a son that someday her son would be a prophet of God, a judge, a leader of the nation of Israel. Samuel did become a mighty servant of God. She couldn't have dreamed. Some of you cannot dream or even imagine how God might use you if you're prepared to be like Hannah. If I was prepared to be like Hannah. She probably never dreamed that once she had Samuel, she would be blessed with many more children. It was beyond her horizons at that time. All she could see was the difficulty in front of her. And as Christians, sometimes all we can see is the difficulty in front. We can't see the blessing that will come. But we have to have that hope and look beyond that horizon. And she probably never dreamed that her prayer would become part of God's holy writings. We have this amazing story in detail, her feelings and all that there, the scriptures, it's there written for us. She could never have dreamt that she would have an important part in God's scriptures. Hannah's life illustrates that God does indeed hear and answer the prayers of those who come to him in faith. Despite the traumas we face in the world around us, God is always there to help. He's always there. He sees you. He's the God. Bible term, he's the God who sees. He sees you. He sees your heart. He sees what you're going through. He knows your struggles. And he loves you. Could you just come up and just play for us? I just want us to maybe take some time to reflect on this message. I think, I don't know if you've been challenged, but I'm challenged again by it. Who knows what God may take me through to get me to the place where I give him my best. But maybe you just need to just reflect this morning on what's been shared. And it's always a challenge not to be embarrassed by anybody else around you. I'm going to be over the side here, and Tim's just going to lead us in some worship, so I'll just gently. You can just take the time to be quiet before God, or you might want me to pray with you, and I'd be very happy to pray with you. I'll be over here. And so we'll just do that, Tim, just for a little bit, and then we're just going to close, but that'd be great. Thank you, Jesus. Lord.